Dear listeners, wherever you are on the road, in the office, or at home, on the couch, we welcome you to our podcast, BI for All Talks. From big data and machine learning to data visualization and predictive analytics, we cover it all. So sit back, relax, and get ready to learn something new. Hello and welcome to another episode of BI for All Talks. I'm Branka, Swiss Country Manager at BI for All Switzerland. And with me today, I have Mr. German Ramirez, co-founder of the Relevance House, who shares his insights on the topic of the broken relationship between marketing and data. Welcome and thank you, German, for being here with us and taking the time to share your expertise on this exciting topic. German, I have known you for a few years now, and we have met at different events, workshops, exhibitions, and I have listened to some of your speeches and talks. And I got really excited to ask you if you would be my guest today on this podcast and share some insights from you. You're a very interesting character, and I'm really, really excited about this today's podcast. So, who are you, German?
Thank you so much for having me, Branka. Excited to be here and be given the opportunity to share some of my views and about the topic. Who I am? I have been longer in the internet than Google. I think what describes me best is a relentless curiosity for how technology affects and transforms our behavior as humans. That's kind of, I refer to it as the love story between technology and humanity. And that's kind of my passion, and at the same time, my business, my focus. Specifically, I wear three different hats. I am, as you said, the co-founder of the Relevance House, which is a branding and marketing agency specialized in building brands in blockchain, the intersection of Web3, blockchain, and branding, marketing, communications. On the one side, on the other side, I'm also a passionate lecturer, speaker, author, coach, etc., around the topics of the love story between technology and humanity. And last but not least, I also have the pleasure of work as an advisor to different companies and support them on specific strategic journeys.
Wow, this is just a few things that you do, right? Well, starting the first question on this very, very interesting topic, as I mentioned just before, the broken relationship between marketing and data. Let's deep dive into this topic. Tell us, why is that relationship broken?
Sure. I grew up as a marketeer in a time, and obviously I've been doing this for over 25 years. So I grew up in a time in which it used to be actually difficult to collect data. It wasn't obvious for marketeers to collect data. And we somehow grew up in a world in which you would try to get your hands on any piece of research, of data, of intelligence, or whatever you could gather. And that's, we kind of learned that the more you collect information and data, the better your decisions or whatever it is you will be able to do with it. And that's kind of something that is implanted in our brains as marketeers. Now, the digital age has opened the Pandora box on steroids of the ability to collect data. So now we can collect all sorts of data. So if you pair the ability of the digital world to just fill tera and petabytes of data and the intuition of a marketeer to be a hunter and gatherer of data, like a little hamster collecting as much as possible, because we'll figure out later what we'll do with it, right? If you ask any marketeer why they collect data, they will tell you beautiful stories around insights, around intelligence, around analytics, around all sorts of things. But deep inside, in the current age, the honest answer would be, because I can. I will figure out later what we do with it. Right. Now, this, in my view, leads to a phenomenon And this is where that relationship is broken, in which you have all the data, but you start running analysis with data you have because you have it. And you start just collecting analysis and making and running numbers because you can. You know, maybe you could figure out what is the favorite color of shoes for your consumers living in the northern part of America. Well, you might even have enough data to actually figure that out. Wondering, though, how much is that going to contribute to the value of your business? And this is where I believe we have that a broken relationship with data, where basically we are asphyxiating in data. We collect all the data. We create beautiful dashboards. We analyze everything. We report about everything. We may try to make sense out of it. But at the end, much of it might be relevant and might be asphyxiating us, and therefore, you know, not giving us the right value just in and by themselves.
Okay. But everybody seems to agree that the data is the new oil nowadays. Is it not logical and smart to collect as much data as you can? I mean, you just said that kind of like, but is it because it is the new oil and or the new gold?
I agree with that sentence 100%, but I believe that it is used oftentimes in a misleading way because it's not thought through. Let's think about it for a second in physical matters, right? Data is the new oil. Now, oil in and by itself is to most people in the world worthless, useless. If you're an oil merchant, you buy and you sell oil, then data for you is direct value. Mm-hmm. But for most of us, you know, if you're a data broker, you're a business selling data, then obviously the data in it by itself, that's your raw material you buy, you sell. You can make value for your business with it. But if you're not an oil merchant or a data broker, for most of us, I mean, I've never in my life purchased a barrel of oil. I don't know about you. I never purchased a barrel of oil. Oil to me is useless. Oil to most people is useless. Now, somebody needs to refine that oil, transport it to you, bring it to you, and having translated it into something you can actually make sense out of. You don't buy gasoline because it stings. What you're actually buying is the ability of your car to move and go from A to B. So you're actually paying for transportation.
Right.
So it's not data. Data is a new oil. If you think of it just simply like you can collect data and that will give you data, and then that will give you value. But for most of us, you know, people don't trade with data. Most people I know, most companies, they trade chocolate, they trade printers, they trade coffee, software, whatever. And that, you know, for that, what you need to do is to look at data differently. It's not valuable until you refine it. Only if you extract conclusions out of it and make decisions upon it, right? If you go with your car from A to B, if you move something, basically, if something changes, then that will be value extracted off data. But the long process needs to happen. And if we just obfuscate on collecting the data because it's valuable, then we are not really going, we're not doing it right.
Sure. Wow. So you're basically saying like raw data will not fix much.
Definitely not. In it by itself, to most people, not.
Mm-hmm. So what do we need then? Like, what would you then recommend to marketeers to do concretely in order to have a successful data strategy or useful data?
It's a beautiful question. Actually, the answer to it is extremely simple, but extremely profound, I believe. I think marketeers need to start looking at data differently, basically fixing the relationship they have with data that broken relationship, and reframing how they look at it. If you manage to change the way you look at the problem, the rest is a matter of following through, which is extremely simple. So usually it goes like this. You, as a marketeer, you throw out as many data traps as you can. You know, you put analytics and pixels, and you start collecting data everywhere you can, as much as you can. You start collecting. And then you collect it, petabytes, terabytes, the more the merrier. And you start looking at the data in colorful dashboards. You hope by looking at it that some insights and answers will appear. Most of the time what you do is you fill reports. Mm-hmm. Now, if you turn that process upside down, and it, remember this sentence, decide what to decide. If you decide what to decide, right? If you you define a hypothesis that you want to validate, something that you want to change or look into, improve, create, try, a very concrete decision you want to take, a campaign, an app, a part of your journey, a new feature, whatever, formulate it as a question. What are you looking to answer? And then you will derive from that question, what data points do I need to know in order to answer this question? It might be one, it might be two things you need to look into. Most answers come from a very specific question and a very specific data-driven answer to it that consists of one, two, three, maybe data points for that answer. So rather than looking at everything and being confused and not seeing the tree for the forest for the tree, excuse me, you do it upside, you just turn it upside down. And eventually, it might be that the data you need to answer that question is not going to be in your organization. Then go out and buy it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Again, don't try to make sense out of the data you have because you have it. Try to formulate questions for hypotheses, things you want to know, decisions you want to make, decide what to decide, and then understand or formulate what data points will allow you to take a data-driven decision towards that specific decision. Collect those and take that decision. Move on to the next issue. Turn it upside down, basically.
Excellent. Thank you very much for this answer. So basically what you're saying is like, okay, on one side, you need to have a marketing strategy, but on the other side, by collecting all this data, you also need to have a clear data strategy.
100%. And probably the most important aspect behind it is to try to formulate or try to think of actionable insights you will be extracting from your data. Try to think through the process, through what will we make out of this data? What are the insights, you know, and try to think beyond the data points into the questions, into the actions you will be taking, into the insights you will be extracting from them, thinking it through, not just collecting it. And then at some point looking at it and saying, okay, what is the data telling me? Well, you first need to tell the data what it is you're looking for. And then the data might give it to you if you look at the right set of data, of course.
Sure. Now we've been also talking, about AI a lot nowadays. Also in my previous podcasts, where AI could help us. And I know this comes exactly also to this topic today, the broken relationship between marketing and data. So, do you think AI has potential to solve this broken relationship, or will it add fuel to the fire?
In the short term, it will add confusion, and novelty and whatever, and all sorts of opinions, etc. And therefore, if you call that fuel to the fire, it'll be an interesting and exciting discussion. I mean, we're having a lot of fun with the memes. I think we can all agree. I personally love them. In the middle long term, absolutely yes, absolutely yes. I believe that. There has been an over drive of focus on data collection, data analysis, etc. in the world of marketing, mm-hmm. to an extent that it has, it has distracted eventually a lot of marketeers from elements that are very important strategically and very impactful for the business and technically in the realm of marketeers, right? Marketeers used to be looked at like the funny guys who are making the pretty pictures and and you know, it was spending money, making advertising. It's about, you know, emotional connections, the kumbaya and so on, right? Now, in the world of digital and digital marketing that we live in, that predominantly, you know, that we know, where data is inundated, where everything is dissected, where every single step, etc., is covered, we have gone to the total other extreme, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There is a disassociation that I personally think is a strategic mistake, or at least a waiting opportunity, from the concepts of branding, of emotional connections, of creativity that were so innate to the discipline of marketing, were so criticized oftentimes, but so innate to it. And if an absolute focus on try to tweak the last little A-B testing thingy so that we can get a squeeze another 0.5% conversion on that little ad that we got over there.
Right.
And you can do that all day. You can juggle it all day, right? But I think we've gone a little too far. Now, to your question, artificial intelligence, I believe, will A, be significantly better, faster, and smarter in doing that extra rational part that has been the data element of marketing that has been, in my opinion, over dominant increasingly over the last years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore free time and focus for marketeers to be able to look into other elements that are eventually extremely important, and then rediscover the beauty of creativity. Because if every ad is an impulse ad and it only exists if you click on it, right? And nothing that resembles a potential emotional, long-term, standing, valuable connection between you and any given brand, business, product, or category, or what have you, is in mind, you will suffer from that in the short impact thinking of businesses. So you want to build sustainable long-term value? Well, rediscover creativity, emotional connections, and the whole kumbaya shit, sorry for my French, that criticized, that marketing was oftentimes criticized for, and that we have lost. And delegate all of that other things to AI. They are much better and smarter anyways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do I understand this correctly? Like, AI will not kill creativity in marketing, but it will kind of like support it.
That's an interesting one, and that's in a way kind of a different spin on it. And I was looking at the AI factor earlier from the lens of data and data analytics, but there is indeed an extremely interesting discussion going on in the context of AI as a creative resource, right? Mm-hmm. With the ability, we've all seen the posts and liked and commented about, you know, a blog post and newsletters and all sorts of things and content libraries and what have you being produced overnight by ChatGPT. And a lot of people are exactly having the discussion, why you need a content writer, right? If it can do it all by itself, you know, it can write perfect, you know, perfect blog posts, perfect articles, perfect summaries, perfect presentations. I mean, you don't need anyone to do that for you. And that's going to be a really funny ride. And here is my take on it. My personal view when it comes to what AI is doing is that it's fascinating, but it's always based or coming from, to the extent it's valuable, from previous human creation. In other words, it will, at least for the time being, right? It's going to be very long, right? It will never be genuine, true, authentic creativity, because it's always the reproduction, the mixing, the best, the mashup in great quality of things that have been there before. It's a regurgitation of previous creativity. It's not in and by itself creativity, and it can do the trick. But I think the reason why we observe these blog posts and consider them okay is because we, as a society, as an economy, have come into a time in which everything counts as content, everyone is a writer, and the amount of mediocrity that is out there in the world is stunning. Most blogs in the world don't deserve to be read because they should have never been written. They are of very poor quality, but somebody started them because they could.
Yes.
And many, much more content, many more videos, many more everything is created every day by all sorts of people, not because they are good at it and they have a calling, but because they can. Right? And if everyone with an iPhone is a photographer, then AI is absolutely good enough. But that is not creativity. So what I think AI will do is that due to this proliferation, all the, pardon my French, shit quality content, the mediocrity that has inundated also the creative world, a lot of agencies, a lot of writers, a lot of blog posts, and a lot of it is really not really good. Mm-hmm. It's right, but it's not really good. It's not outstanding. And that will become free. So today, marketeers are challenged when they buy creative work. They go like, okay, should I pay 500, 5,000, 50,000? There is always a cheaper and always a higher price you can pay. In the future, I think all of that middle segment in there, well, will very likely disappear. It will be, will I do it for free or will it be handmade? We will rediscover the importance of men created or women created, hand created, that handcrafted thought. That will cost extra. Not everybody will be good enough to compete against AI. And that will be a beautiful filter. The better the AI gets, the more superiorly creative, outstanding, special you have to be to still be worth that someone spends money on something that they could otherwise eventually get for free. See, we are going to start seeing some really profound explosions of true creativity and beauty from significantly less players. And we're going to continue seeing a proliferation of everything will be free in the world. And I look forward to that.
Wow.
I don't know how long I will be able to personally compete against AI. For now, I believe I still can.
Wow, wow, wow. This is a very nice answer and an exciting answer. True. I mean, what you're saying, it has really a point. But it's also interesting, like, to see, like, how AI and creativity in marketing, or in general, AI and creativity will evolve, and what that is going to mean for companies and all the creative minds out there. And that leads me to my next question, which you kind of already have answered, but, like, you know, what is the real thing that's or the relationship between marketing, people, and data evolving in the future? How can we kind of, like, look at that, and how can we, how do we see that together?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, there is an element of the answer of that, that would answer that I believe I mentioned before, the idea of having a stronger human connection or a human kind of human task role, creativity role within marketing as a function. While AI, or while continuing to obviously granularly measure all the data, but delegating that to automation. So I think it will be, the people side will have its role, and the data side will have its role, but obviously it will be more towards people again. That's my take there. Now, there is another interesting way to look at it, and I'll, if you allow me, I provide a very different answer, different way to look at the answer. the relationship between marketing people and data we've been looking into from the perspective of analytics and the and customer experiences, etc., in marketing.
Right.
There is also, I believe, an interesting twist that I see we might be experiencing in the future through, on the one side, regulation, data privacy challenges that are rising that will limit the access to data and da, 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 da. And at the same time, the fact that consumers are becoming aware of the value of their data, and without going further into it, hinting into a possible future in which companies buy data straight from consumers, and basically have a different look and a different relationship with it, with a more, you know, inclusive approach to it, which is the entire movement of Web3, etc., which is probably a topic for another podcast another day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I mean, I could just sit here and continue talking to you and asking you way more questions than I have asked. But we're kind of like, you know, the time is always so limited and we're running out of time. But I do have two last questions that I would love to ask you, and then we need to wrap it up. And I'm definitely sure that I would love to invite you for a second podcast because this is just so interesting, and I enjoy your answers as well. The next question would be like, what is the key to successful marketing in an AI-driven future?
Marketing needs to realize, in my view, what I refer to are the last two fields of humanity that we will last succumb towards technology. Those are creativity and empathy. The last two towers are creativity and empathy. Technology is already better than us at many things, and it will get better at us at many other things that it today is not yet better at us. The last two things, last two things that it will eventually one day get better than us at two, but the last two ones are creativity and empathy. The more we try to learn and focus on those and learn how to leverage those as marketeers, the more successful we will be and more sustainable our success will be in the longer future.
Excellent. And could we just have, you know, a wrap up on the broken relationship between marketing and data now that we have had a few insights? What can you just, in a nutshell, summarize the insights and takeaways of this podcast for our listeners out there?
Yes, I would make a call to action to every single person out there in the world of business and marketing and in general, in the broader sense, that is collecting data. Stop collecting data just because you can and start thinking of the intelligence, the insights, the actions, and the entire process of that systematically and professionally delivering decisions and actions into your business and looking at it from that perspective as opposed to just collecting data because you can. Please do yourself that favor. Then data will become fuel to your business, not oil, but fuel, and we'll set it on fire.
Perfect. Excellent. Thank you so much, Germán. This was very insightful. Also, thank you very much for taking part of this exciting podcast. And our listeners out there, thank you for listening and for your attention. Germán, I'm looking forward to our next session already. Very excited for that. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.
Wishing you a happy day and hope to speak to you soon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Everybody, be good and rock on.